Lord, we thank you for this amazing day. God, you just have caused me all morning just to be reminded that you are the one who has made this day. You turned the lights on today, God. You did. You made this day and you've invited us and given us our very breath that we have today to live this day for your glory and to enjoy you this day. So God, here we are. May you be glorified, God. And may you enjoy this time as we're gathered as your children in your presence, turning to your word, God, looking for your heart, God, for us, for our community. Have your way with us, we pray, in the amazing name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God is calling us to be the expanding church, and as you know, as you've been hanging out here for the last several weeks, that's the sermon series that we're in the middle of, the expanding church. Scripture echoes this call that the church should be expanding. We can look in the Psalms, in Psalm 115, verse 14. Scripture says, may the Lord make you increase. Another word for increase is expand, get larger, right? May the Lord make you expand, both you and your children. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, the Apostle Paul, as he's instructing his disciple Timothy, he makes this plea and this call over Timothy's life. He says, take pains with these things. Now, these things are godliness and making disciples and sharing the gospel. And so Paul is telling Timothy, make pains with these things, be absorbed in them so that your progress or so that your expansion will be evident to all. I always love it in Scripture when I see the word evident. Evident life. Isn't it great? Come on. Expansion and evident to all. Well, at Evident Life Church, God is growing. He's growing us. He's increasing us from the inside out. And by His grace, we really are His expanding church. There's real evidence of progress. You hear it on Sunday as people share testimonies of how God is truly moving in them and through them and for them. We're seeing it throughout the week as I get to watch a church family really living out their faith for real, expecting big things, and by God's grace, being engaged in big kingdom things. It's exciting. This truly is His expanding church. I'm really blessed to be a pastor of a church, of a group of people who just take God at His word and live it out and demonstrate the Lord in beautiful ways. This is a special place, and you're a special group of people. And this expansion that we're actually experiencing and living out right now is something that started from the inside, and it's working its way out of us, isn't it? The Lord's been expanding us on the inside. He's been expanding our love. He's been expanding our worship. I mean, we experienced it again this morning, our worship. He's been expanding our faith, our freedom, living as free men and women in Christ Jesus. He's been expanding us on the inside. However, today, the Lord is moving us outward. And He is expanding our mission. And that's the title of today's message in this series. Expanding our mission. So I'm going to ask two questions here. And they're not rhetorical questions. And they're not questions where you just think it in your mind. But I would love to hear some verbal responses to these questions from my church family. Are you ready? I usually don't do that. You know, I'm not. But I'm looking for it right now. So here's the first question. Are we ready to move outward? Oh, yes, I like that. Better than expected. Praise God. Second question, a little longer question. Are we willing to allow God to continue this process of expansion in our lives and in our church? Are we willing, church?
Yes.
Amen. Even better. Wow. I need to ask more often. A little response here and there. That was great. Thank you. I'm so glad that you answered yes to both those questions, because we really are called to be that church that's moving outward. And a critical aspect of us moving outward is our mission statement. The mission statement that God has given to us, that He has delivered to us in and through that place of prayer, specifically for this church family. Let's put our mission statement up on the screen. It says, Evident Life Church is embracing Jesus' great commission by helping people encounter God's presence, belong to His family, and grow in His love so that, I know we focus a lot on the encounter, belong, grow, so that our town is transformed and our world impacted for God's glory. Amen. Moving outward. Moving outward. It starts inside and it moves out, doesn't it? God has called us to be the expanding church. And the expanding church is a church that is expanding its mission, which means town transformation, world impact. But what does it look like to live out this expanding mission day in and day out? How does this become real in our lives and not just something we talk about? I'm going to use myself as an example. The story I'm about to tell is true. Now, it is true. It's something that some of you maybe have already heard, especially if you come to Wednesday night prayer. I tend to share a lot of little personal stories, but I believe I've shared parts of this story with you, my church family, on Sunday morning before. But, you know, they say that you got to hear it like 700 times before you really remember it, right? So I want to share this story with you, and I believe it will help us just to start understanding how to make this real. This moving outward, this outward focus, this expansion of our mission and our calling that God has in our lives. So 2 years ago, I was asked to be on a panel with local and state leaders. I can't believe it was already 2 years ago. The purpose of this panel, Mayor John Lewis, he was our mayor at the time here in Gilbert, asked me to be on the panel. The purpose was to come up with solutions that would help the mental health issues and substance abuse issues that we're having in our community and around our state. And the panel was going to consist of professionals in that field, that particular field. But they invited me to be on the panel. And I made a decision several years ago, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that whenever a leader in our community or in our state or even national asks me to show up or to be part of something, even small or big, that I'm going to say yes. I'm just going to say yes to them, and I'm going to make myself available to those around me and those in my community. And so I just very quickly told the mayor, yes, I'll be there. The morning of the event, this was about 3 weeks later, the morning of the event, I got very cold feet. I woke up that morning thinking, what am I about to walk into? Who am I? I don't know anything about this. Mental health stuff, I don't know the buzzwords, I don't know the statistics. I'm going to sound like a complete idiot sitting around this panel. I'm not only going to make myself look bad, but my family, my church, and God Himself if I show up at this meeting. And so I'm like, I'm not putting on my suit and tie. I'm just going to put on my jeans and my pastor-looking shirt, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just going to go into the prayer room and pray and get on with being a pastor, right? And the Holy Spirit stopped me very quickly, and He said, Eric, put that suit on, put that tie on, and go to the meeting. But God, He said, Eric, I'm not asking you to be somebody you're not. I'm not asking you to know something that you don't know. I'm not asking you to give people anything you don't have. I'm simply asking you to go to this meeting and be who you are, say what you know, and give them what you have. I mean, I didn't hear this audibly, but it was almost louder than an audible voice from the Lord. So I put my suit on, I put my tie on, and I went to this meeting. So too often, we operate and live out of a place of fear. Too often, we overcomplicate the Christian life. And because of fear, because of overcomplication, what do? We find ourselves failing to fulfill our mission, failing to be the very ones that God's called us to be and do the very things that God's called us to do. We fail to bring that transformation, that kingdom of God transformation into our community, into our culture. But when we seek the Lord, when we follow Him, He can remove fear from our lives. And He can take what the world tries to do, overcomplicating things, and He can bring it down and make it very simple for us so that we can once again walk the path that He has called us to walk. So to expand our mission, we can simply start this way. And I believe that the Lord is going to help many of us in this room this morning get back to the simplicity of Christian living and get back to the beauty and to the miraculous of what God wants to do in us and through us. This is how we start. We begin this Christian life and we begin expanding our mission by simply being who we are. That's point number one. How do we live this out? How does this become real day in and day out to expand our mission, to be who God's called us to be? We just be who we are. And who are we? Well, I want to go to Scripture to find out who we are, right? Who does God say that we are? Who has Jesus called us to be? In Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, this is what God has to say about who we are. It says, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with His disciples, He gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you've heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked Him, Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses. Who are we? You will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after Jesus made this statement about who we are and what it's going to look like, He was taken up before their very eyes and the cloud hid Him from their sight. So the last words spoken by Jesus to His disciples, to the church, the last words He spoke while on this earth, He says, you will be My witnesses. He wanted us to make sure we understood who we are. We are Jesus' witnesses. And to expand our mission, to live out the calling that we have on our lives, the purpose for the church to be here right now, we have to know who we are. We are His witnesses. Here's some definition. What does it mean to be a witness? A witness is one that gives evidence. One that testifies of a fact or an event. A witness is one who confirms identity and importance. And so what has Jesus called us to do? Who has He called us to be? He's called us to be those whose lives give evidence of Him. To be those who testify of His love while confirming that Jesus is the Savior of the world. That's who we're called to be. That's how simple we're called to live. We're to show the world Jesus, to be His witnesses. You say, but I'm an accountant. But I'm a contractor. I'm a bus driver. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm a teacher. I'm a student. Yes, you are those things. But rest assured, those temporal roles and titles and identities that you have over your life, they do not supersede the eternal big picture identity of truly who you are in God's sight. And that is that you are Jesus' witnesses in this world, in our community, in our culture right now. That's who you are. In the sight of God right now. We are Jesus' ambassadors. His representatives on this earth. God's word says some other things about who we are. And when we understand who we are, and these other things I'm about to mention, it should even get us more excited and more energized and walk in more faith to be Jesus' witnesses. You know, God's word says that we are new creations. You're a new creation. You're not the same person that you used to be before Christ. You are a new creation. The old stuff is gone. The new things of God, the things of heaven, the things of eternity have come upon you, in you, and all over you. You are a new creation now. That's who you are. We're supposed to be who we are. These new creations, the world needs us to be who we are. We're the redeemed. We're no longer the condemned. We are the redeemed of the Lord. And so we're going to be who we are. And the world needs to see the redeemed walking as the redeemed, as the children of God. That's who we are. And we are those who are blessed, who are happy in God. That's who we are, church. We are those who are doing what Jesus did. And because we're all getting together behind this, exponentially doing it together, we're seeing even the greater things of the kingdom of God at work and happening in our life, in our community. That's who we are. And so we are Jesus' ambassadors. We are His representatives. We are His witnesses. That's who we are. Be who we are. I want to show you this picture. I just threw this in last minute this morning. This is a picture after, unfortunately, my alma mater, Baylor University, lost in the Sweet 16 game against South Carolina. But look at what my university did with the other team at the end of the game. They didn't just go by slapping hands, clapping, congratulating him. They all went out into the middle of the court. They huddled and they prayed. That's who they are. For some reason, that's who this team is. They were just being who they are on national television. Not trying to make a show. They're just being who they are. Witnessing that, you know what, while this basketball game was a big deal, it wasn't the biggest deal. God is the biggest deal. And so we're going to gather together and we're going to turn to Him right now. Be who you are. Isn't it neat in this picture? It almost looks like a heart. Can you kind of tell that? Kind of like a heart almost. That jumped out at me anyway. The heart of God, that people would come together and acknowledge Him before man. It's a beautiful thing. Be who we are. So expanding our mission begins with us simply being who we are. And when we are who we are, we're going to be driven to do this next step. And again, it's very simple. Say what we know. Be who we are. And then we say what we know. I propose that this is the second simple yet powerful step we can take as God's people that have decided to intentionally and authentically live out our faith and our identity of who we are in Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 14. Romans 10, verse 14 says, "How then can they call on the one that they've not believed? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Amen. God just said that it's beautiful when we say what we know, didn't He? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's beautiful when we open our mouths and we say what we know. It is beautiful when we open our mouths and actually declare and speak the name of Jesus into other people's lives, into situations, into our culture. It's beautiful to our Lord when we do that. It's beautiful when we share the love of Christ and when we speak the gospel of Jesus to a lost, hurting, and dying generation. This is beautiful to God, saying what we know. And so that's what we do. We are His witnesses. That's who we are. And so what do? We say what we know. And what do we know? We know this, church. We know that Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to everything. What's the situation? What's the problem? What's broken in our lives? What's broken in our culture? What's broken in our community? Jesus is the answer. That's what we know. And so that's what we speak. We know that Jesus is the hope. There's a lot of hopelessness. We live in a culture of hopelessness. Well, what do we know, church? We know that Jesus is the hope that will truly satisfy. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. Jesus is the life. And so what do we do? What do we say? We say Jesus. We actually open up our mouths. And we say the name of Jesus. And when we do this, the Lord is like, that's my child. That is beautiful. I'm telling you, heaven rejoices. It's like we're painting the most beautiful tapestry when we're those people, His witnesses, that actually are saying what we know. Jesus. 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 And so, let me go back to that meeting that I finally went to that morning. My suit and tie. I was sitting at the table with the chief of police, the mayor, the superintendent of public schools, the director of Arizona Health Services, and many others in that field. A lot of discussion was happening, and then it got around to me. Here we go, right? And they say, well, Pastor, what do you see and what do you think? You know, the Lord said that He's going to give us the words, right? If we'll show up, if we're willing, He's going to give us the words to speak. The Holy Spirit will do that for us. And so I opened my mouth. And I told them what I know. That's all I did because that's all I had. I'm not going to fake it. I'm not going to make up a lot of things. I just told them what I know. And this is what I share with them. I said, when people are hurting in my church, in the circle of people that I run with, when people are hurting, we bring them to Jesus. That's what we do. And when people are depressed, we bring them Jesus. When people are struggling to that point of even suicidal tendencies, we bring them Jesus. That's what we bring them. When people find themselves in addiction, whatever the addiction might be, drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever the situation might be, we bring them to Jesus. We bring Jesus into those situations. And Jesus brings them freedom, is what I told them. For real. Amen. He sets them free. He brings them freedom. Whatever the situation is, emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, whatever it is, Jesus brings the freedom. Now, up to that point, the talk had been theoretical. It had been a lot of problems that were put out on the table, a lot of issues and a lot of theories, but nothing real. And all of a sudden, because I showed up that day and just told them what I know, because that's all I know dealing with these situations. When I showed up that day, it became very real all of a sudden. Real people that were dealing with real hurt and real problems, getting real help and real freedom and real deliverance from the real Jesus. It got real. Flesh and bones got put on the discussion and the situation. And when I got finished talking, I'm looking around the table. It's quiet and people's eyes are bugged out and their jaws are dropped. They weren't expecting that, but they were blown away. They couldn't deny what Jesus was doing in people's lives. And they actually put up on the board and the solution board, more prayer. Get churches involved. I'm telling you, be who we are. Say what we know. I didn't make anything up. I didn't have to talk, you know, professor speak, you know, and doctorate speak and all that. I just had to tell them what Jesus is doing in people's lives. That's it. So church, this is our time. It really is. The world wants it to be our time. They may say that they don't want the church involved, that they don't want Jesus involved. Those are some of the voices out there, but don't let that fool you. The world, the majority of the hurting, the lost, the desperate people out there are just longing for the church to show up, for it to be the time of the church, of the redeemed, of those who know Jesus. It's our time and it's our watch and this is our mission. And so we do say what we know. We're compelled to. We have to. People's lives are at stake. So we open our mouths and we verbally, I'm going to say that again, we verbally share the hope of all nations, as it says in Matthew 12:21, we share Jesus with people. That's what we do. And it's really that simple. We don't have to fake it. We don't have to push it. Doesn't have to be awkward. It just needs to be real. You're being who you are. And you're just saying what you know. But Pastor, people might not listen. True. They might not listen, but others will and be saved. Okay? But Pastor, I might not be invited back to that group again. True, you might not be invited back to that group again. But the Lord says that when we're faithful with the little, He gives us the more. Scripture says that the Lord is looking to and fro throughout the earth for those who are fully given to Him, for those who will be who they are and say what they know. And when He finds those people, He shows Himself strong through them. And so, yeah, you might not get invited back to that group. But the Lord is going to use you in greater ways. That's the economy of God. That's what Scripture tells us. Since that day, 2 years ago, I've been asked to... Things have expanded, I guess, is what I'm saying. Not looking for it, not asking for it, but things have expanded. Since that day, I've been asked to meet with U.S. senators, pray with U.S. congressmen in their office multiple times. They've been over to my house for share and prayer times. I've been asked to pray before the state legislature many times. And every time when this happens, I have a very similar response, like, what am I doing? Am I really going to put the suit and tie on and go to this? Because I don't know. It's not my arena. You know what I'm saying? It's like foreign. It's like, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? I just want to give you a taste. I brought this video in just so that you know I don't only work on Sundays. You know what I'm saying? Some people think pastors, they just work one day a week, right? There's a lot more going on week in and week out. I have to fight for the day off for my Sabbath. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to give you just a little bit of taste. The quality of the video isn't the best, but I want to give you a taste of just some of what goes on as I let God lead me into places that are, anyway, that I feel like, what in the world am I doing here? Here's an example. This is a legislative session, a joint legislative session.
To lead the prayer invocation, bow our heads and pray. Lord, we just want to first acknowledge that You are God, that You're holy, that You're good. And as our state emblem says, that it is truly You who enriches. And so we invite You to be here. We ask that You pour out Your grace upon us. God, that You would open up our hearts and our minds to understand Your thoughts, that we would live and lead in wisdom. God, I thank You for all the leaders that are here together today, the unity that is represented in this room. And Lord, Your word shows us that You bless unity. So God, I ask that You continue to pour out a spirit of unity in this body, in this state, in this region, Lord God, and among the nations. Lord, You also bless love. You love unity and You love love. In fact, Jesus, You taught us that the two greatest things we can do, if we can only do two things in life, is to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Two things seem simple, but we know it's so hard, so we lean into You. We ask You, God, to help us love well. Your word tells us in James chapter 2, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, which is to love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. So speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And so, God, we come to You humbly and we ask that You'd help us. Help us live lives of love and mercy. Help us lead
from the place of love and mercy and unity. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, and the hope of all nations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so, when we're faithful with a little, we never know what God's going to do. We never know where He's going to take us, what's going to happen next. We just humbly follow His lead and speak His name, be who we are, and say what we know. So expanding our mission begins with us simply being who we are, compels us to say what we know, and ultimately leads us to give what we have. And that's the third point. The third thing the Lord gave me that morning to prompt me to go to that panel meeting is give what we have. Jesus says these words. First one's found in Mark chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus says that if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. In other words, he must be the one who gives. If you want to be first, you got to be the one who gives. Jesus also said, it's found in the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verse 43, instead, whoever wants to become great among you, you must be first your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And then in Acts chapter 20, they quote Jesus in verse 35 saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we give what we have. That's how we serve. That's how we give. We give what we have. We give Jesus. We give His love. We give His hope. We give ourselves also. We give to those who have need. We give to those who have practical needs. We give to those who have spiritual needs. We give what we have. We give our time. We give our resources. We give our finances. We give what we have. That's what we do as Jesus' witnesses, as those who are like Christ. We give what we have, and we always have something to give. Let me say that again. You need to understand, you always have something to give. One of my favorite encounters in Scripture is when Peter and John went to the temple to pray, and they came upon that lame man who was asking for money, right? And so let's go to that right now. It's in Acts 3, verse 6. He was asking for money. Then Peter said to him, silver or gold I don't have, but what I have I give you. Now check this out. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he says, walk. Now, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. I want to stop for a moment. Don't look. This is reminding me of this. You know what? Too often, I'll get back to this. I'm doing an Eric right now. Woohoo! All right. Too often, we miss the miraculous in the here and now. It goes in one ear, out the other. We clap for a moment. Then we get on with life and we go, where's God? We want to see the things in the book of Acts. We want to see the miracles that are happening over in Africa. You know, we want to see the real God in America. It's just dry. That's not true. You just heard a testimony this morning that said that the Lord just took somebody's arm that was in a cast and was not connecting properly. The doctors were going to have to do additional surgery. And after prayer, realignment, everything perfect again. That's the kind of miracle that you could read about in the book of Acts and go, woo, yeah, that's biblical. That's Bible size, heaven size, you know, wow size. It's happening today. So I want to make sure we're aware of that. It's happening today. If you're not seeing it, open your eyes. If you're not seeing it, get together with people that are seeing it. Get together with people that are praying. Get together with those that are seeking these things. And it is happening today. We hear about it often in the testimonies on Sunday mornings in this church. He's alive. He's living. He's active. He's moving. He's showing his love and releasing his grace. All right, back to where we were. All right, Peter and John went to pray. I'm going to give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. He lifted him up. He got up, and what happens? He became strong, and it says in verse 8, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. He went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. There's that word again. It just came together with me. Wow, beautiful. Beautiful when we give them what we have, when we say what we know. It's beautiful, isn't it? And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The point is, we always have something to give. We always do. And God has given us all we need to give, and to give generously, to give in faith, to give what we have. Sometimes it's silver and gold, isn't it? And if you have finances, give and give generously. Give to what God is doing. Give to your church as we are moving in our community and seeing God expand His kingdom in and through this church with what's going on Friday nights and Saturday nights and in our downtown area. If that's what you have, finances, give. Give generously and give with excitement. Sometimes what we have is a helping hand. We have 24 hours in a day, and we've got that time, and we're going to set it aside. By the way, we all have the same amount of time in every day. We can choose how we're going to use it. You have a choice. I don't see anybody here in prison right now. You're all here at church right now. We all have a choice in how we're going to use our time today and tomorrow and the next day. How are you going to use it? Who are you going to give some of it to? We can give a helping hand. Sometimes what we have to give is a faith-filled prayer that releases the miracles of God like Peter and John did on that day. That's what we have to give, and that's exactly what that person needs at that time. And so we give what we have. We give generously to others. So here are a few ways that we can get intentional and expand our mission right now. You want to know how to give? You want to know how to make this real? There's a few ways you can get involved, even right here with and through Evident Life Church. You can join our prayer walking team the first and third Friday, 6:30 p.m., I believe is when they meet in the prayer room. And then they go and they prayer walk downtown Gilbert, praying for our community, getting things ready for God's kingdom to come in people's lives. Because you know what happens the next night? The first and third Saturday night, we have a team of people who are doing this Gilbert Outreach. They're the Gilbert Outreach team, and they're going to downtown Gilbert where there are tens of thousands of people on Fridays and Saturday nights there. And they're just being who they are. They're saying what they know, and they're giving what they have. They're keeping it simple. Not allowing fear to get in the way of them being Jesus' witnesses. Not making it weird and awkward and scary for people, but just being authentic, being who they are, saying what they know, giving what they have. When they run across people that are hurting, they're praying for them. And they're always telling them that Jesus is their hope. Amen. They're sharing the gospel of Jesus in a very authentic, real, natural way. And we're finding people getting saved and getting plugged in to the body of Christ. It's happening in our time, in our community right now as we're expanding our mission. You can also get involved in expanding your mission and being who you are by helping the homeless. We're part of the iHelp program here in the East Valley in Chandler and Gilbert. And you can use your time to serve and to give to others who have need. Some of our brothers and sisters in the church right now, we met as they were going through that program, the iHelp program. And now they're part of this church family, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're doing life together, and so we keep ministering to others, being who we are, saying what we know, and giving what we have. You can give your resources, your financial resources, to what God is doing with the outreach and the adoption that's going on as we're making room for others, as we're launching into new ministries in our community, and be in the church that our culture needs us to be. You can start a prayer meeting, a Bible study, at work or at school. Because isn't that who you are? Isn't that what you want to talk to others about? be very natural for you as a follower of Christ, as one who loves the Word of God, who loves to pray and seek His face, to put aside some time at your workspace. Maybe you meet offsite for lunch to do something like that. How else can you expand your mission? What can we do? We can visit our neighbors. When's the last time you talked with your neighbors? I'm getting conviction right now. Talk with them. See how they're doing. Share with them. Serve them. Serve them. And you can just say yes when God opens a door. God opens a door. Say yes. Go and show up. Don't sell God short. Don't sell what He wants to do short. Like me, you might have to put on the suit and tie and just go and be who you are, say what you know, and give what you have. I'm going to ask those two questions again that we asked in the beginning. I'm going to see, are we going to get more response, a louder yes and amen, or are we going to pull back a little bit after this message? I'm hoping it gets a little louder. So you ready for the two questions again? Yeah. All right, church. Are we ready to move outward?
Yeah!
Hallelujah. Second question, again, it's longer. Are we willing to allow God to continue this process of expansion in our lives and in our church? Are we ready?
Yeah!
Are we willing? Are we willing?
Yeah!
All right, I got one more question. Are we prepared to expand our mission right here in our community and in our culture? Are we ready?
Yeah!
Are we going to do it? Amen.